you work, you know, 5 days, and then you have the weekend off. That's usually how it happens. That's typical. And it's just my weekends are a lot longer than most people's, but my work days are a lot longer, too.
Despite being dropped by Jive, it was not long before a new deal was forthcoming. After the Vanilla Ice backlash, however, major labels were giving him a wide berth. This time, it was inevitable that only an independent label were prepared to take the risk with Kid Rock. Sure enough, he soon signed a deal with Continuum Records. This was a label that, up until then, was mainly known for giving solo record deals to Rolling Stone members Charlie Watts and Ronnie Wood, plus Pink Floyd guitarist Dave Gilmour. Once more, the Kid was joining an illustrious roster of artists. Although he had a lot to live up to, his task was made much easier when he was given complete creative freedom to write and play what he liked. The result was his 1992 album, The Polyfuse Method. Once more, this record combined heavy rock with hard rap to terrific effect. With track titles like I Am the Bull God and Blow Me amongst its explicit running order, it fast gained a reputation as another crude and uncompromising album. My Oedipus Complex, a brutally honest rap about his estranged father, also explored new lyrical territory. Despite this dangerous edge, critics began to sit up and take notice, with many of them lauding the album for its funky and original crossover style. It was round about this time that the hottest musicians from Detroit would start to hang out with the Kid, experimenting with the beats and beefing up his sound. This was to see the beginning of the Twisted Brown Trucker Band, who are now his regular backing group. He was no longer just a DJ and rapper. Now part of an awesome live unit, a Kid Rock and Twisted Brown Trucker Band performance became essential viewing. After successful jaunts out on the road, while still continuing to embrace the 24/7 party lifestyle, they were fast gaining status as one of the most energetic, full-on, and infamous acts around. But despite this winning combination, trouble would once more raise its ugly head. Yet again, it concerned business affairs. Continuum Records, it transpired, still did not seem to be the Kid's most ideal business partner. After the release of the Fire It Up EP in 1994, the label began to have doubts about the strength of the artist they'd signed. Most likely, they were confused. This new EP was a heavy, menacing, and much more experimental affair, as well as one that showed increasing signs of musical and lyrical maturity. The thrust of his new backing band was obviously starting to manifest itself. Not only did it not sound like him, but also it didn't sell very well at all. This was not the Kid Rock that they had signed. This was something a lot darker and sinister. Just like Jive before them, they got cold feet. Kid Rock was dropped soon after. Yet again, he was labelless. From now on, Kid was determined to be in control. Up until then, he had always had his own record label, Top Dog Records, which was the business front he used to deal with Jive and then Continuum Records. Wanting to play second fiddle to no one, he resolved to develop it into an ongoing concern. Although Kid was usually a crazy party animal who lived life to the fullest, this did not mean that he did not have a shrewd and sharp business mind. The first step was to secure an $8,500 loan from his bank. Within 8 months, he had multiplied that loan 15-fold. Not only was his Top Dog record label making megabucks, but he also developed a brand new recording suite. The classy, velvet-walled Temple of the Dog Studios was also reaping rewards and attracting artists far and wide. Kid Rock was not someone to do things by halves, and now he was earning millions of dollars. Soon, he had also bought himself a plush house and car, whilst he naturally continued to live the high life. Whilst the Kid kept rocking, Top Dog was sure living up to its name.